This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your friend here at ArtSpeak Radio. I'm inviting you to tune in 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, either on your phone app, listen online, or listen through your car or your, you know, your radio at home. We have a special, you know, every week we have a special program here on ArtSpeak Radio. And today we have the Charlotte Street Foundation, Julie Gordon Dalgleish, who is the director of the Charlotte Street Foundation. And we also have Julia Cole, the Rocket Grants Coordinator, here in the studio to talk about the different opportunities that are really geared towards artists, performers, and sculptors and everyone of every discipline. So welcome, Julie Gordon Dalgleish.
Thank you, Maria. It's really great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I do want to mention that Julie came to the Charlotte Street Foundation just recently, right?
Yes, from Minneapolis.
Uh-huh. And so you bring a lot of experience and dedication and passion from Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the Charlotte Street Foundation. Let's talk about sort of the early beginnings and its history, who founded that and all.
Sure. Charlotte Street was founded in 1997, so about 18 years ago, and it was founded by David Hughes. And David saw at the time that there wasn't much support for individual artists, mm-hmm. particularly artists working at the cutting edge, the more contemporary artists, and was interested in trying to figure out a way to give them opportunities to be recognized, to advance their work, mm-hmm. To have time to focus on their work, because generally artists are working in multiple ways to make a living.
Well, he really had a terrific vision that's carried forth and benefited a lot of the artists here in the community, specifically Kansas City community, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, most of our programming is the five-county area of mm-hmm. Kansas City, although the Rocket Grants does reach out to a broader community.
Okay. Now, under the umbrella of the Charlotte Street Foundation, there are many different programs. Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk about a few of those?
Sure. I kind of think of our programming as fitting in three buckets.
Okay.
So we have our main programming, where we started, was with the Charlotte Street Awards. Mm-hmm. And those are awards for both visual and performing artists. We give out five a year, and they are equal to $10,000 each, mm-hmm. and they're unrestricted. So the artist can use that money any way they feel mm-hmm. They need to.
Mm-hmm. Is it something, well, for instance, if they were awarded that amount, could it be towards a new laptop or something that helps them in the work?
Or does it have to be? However they need to use the funds.
Mm-hmm. And Writer's retreat?
What's that?
A writer's retreat?
Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
It really is okay. Totally unrestricted.
There are no boundaries on what? Okay.
And in addition, we also have these grants and the Rocket Grants, which we'll spend some time talking about, I know. And those are project grants. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of one bucket is mm-hmm. distributing funds for artists to advance their work, carry out projects. The other bucket is the studio residency program. Mm-hmm. So in downtown Kansas City, we have studios that house 30 artists. And with studio space for visual artists, we mm-hmm. have a black box space, mm-hmm. a dance rehearsal space with a dance floor. So we are supporting, through that program, visual artists, choreographers, mm-hmm. composers, as well as writers, which we started including writers a couple years ago. And they get that space for a full year at no cost.
I was going to ask you that.
Uh-huh. Some do have the opportunity to reapply mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. get a second year. And in addition to the space itself, we also do monthly programs for professional development. Mm-hmm. We match them up with mentors. So we're also expanding their opportunity to grow in different ways.
Terrific. Now, with that studio residency, is there also an expectation that work would come out of that? I mean, that would somehow enhance the program, go back to the program? I don't know if I'm asking that question right, but I mean, is there sort of the end goal, end result is maybe a performance or a piece that's in an exhibition or an exhibition?
We don't state that they need to have an end product.
Okay.
Because it's an opportunity to really take time to experiment.
Explore. Okay.
But inevitably, artists are working towards something.
Sure.
And so in addition to the space for the year, we also have, we also use our two downtown galleries, Paragraph and Project Space, for exhibition of the work of the studio residents, particularly visual artists. And then we're constantly looking for ways to show the work of the performing artists, which we typically do through our open studios. So, yes, I mean, work comes out of it, but
sure.
It's not an expectation.
Okay.
And then the third bucket is we have are our spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the two spaces downtown, which are at this point primarily dedicated to the studio residents. And then we have our space on the west side called La Esquina.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we are hosting exhibitions, performances, and other kinds of programs through what was an open call where people, artists, and curators could propose ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They were then selected through a competitive process, and then now we are giving them space, some additional financial support, marketing support, and just roll up your sleeves support. And so that program has been going on since January. We'll continue through the year. And then next year we will go back to our Curator in Residence program. In 2016, we'll be selecting a new curator in residence, which is also a really great program.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Charlotte Street Foundation. And if our listeners want to get more information, you have a website.
Absolutely, charlottestreet.org.
.org for more information. Yeah, I just want to remind our listeners that the Charlotte Street Foundation is a nationally leading nonprofit arts organization that supports and recognizes outstanding artists in greater Kansas City. It really presents and promotes, enhances, and encourages the visual, performing, and interdisciplinary arts. This might begin some thinking in some of our listeners' mind, you know, is this something that is for me? So if you go to the website, again, at charlottestreet.org, do you have, I want to say you have some upcoming events scheduled.
Yes, there's going to be a fun event on the vernal equinox, and it's on the 20th of March.
Now, is this something new? Because I had not ever seen
this is
it.
Out of those proposals.
Okay.
So this was a proposal that was accepted, and beginning at sunset, there will be music performed in La Esquina until sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can bring their sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm.
They can stay all night. They can come and go as they please. And hear music throughout the evening, and then have some coffee and pastries in the morning.
You know, what is your expectations of that? Because I mean, it does sound like fun. You know, it sounds like a very long night.
I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Is that something that people have to sign up for, or they just sort of show up?
Just show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's coming up again.
Yep.
One of the dates?
That's March 20th and 21st.
So that's next weekend, right?
Yes. And then on the in our downtown galleries, Paragraph and Project Space, on the 26th of March, we'll be opening an exhibition that's being curated by Jeff Eaton, which will feature some of the artists from the studio residency.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reception on the 26th that evening, and then the exhibition will stay up for a couple months.
And is that a lot? That's at the location?
It's called Paragraph and Project Space.
Okay.
It's on 12th Street between Main and Walnut.
Okay, very good.
And then one other program I'd like to mention, and this one's fun because it's our open studios. Uh-huh. So it gives you people a chance to come in and see the studios where the artists are working.
So it's kind of a
behind-the-scenes experience. Uh-huh. And meet the artists, talk to them about their work, uh-huh. and see what they've been working on because mm-hmm. they've been there now for over 6 months. And so that happens on April 24th, right after work. And we'll go until about 9 o'clock. And then the next day, we're going to have a program at Paragraph Project Space mm-hmm. that will be connected to the exhibition of mm-hmm. the studio residents in the morning.
You know, I love to see the finished work that's created by artists or performers. It's another thing to see it sort of the work in progress. Mm-hmm. And that can be very exciting and very it can inspire
absolutely,
lots of people
yeah.
and other ideas and that sort of thing. So you can go down and sort of meet and talk with the artists as they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. What is the criteria for some of these, the different buckets? Are they all pretty much the same? Is it one application fits all or what?
It varies from program to program uh-huh. because each of them have different goals and expectations and mm-hmm. trying to reach different artists mm-hmm. In the community from artists earlier in their career, mm-hmm. particularly studio residency program has been very popular among artists at the early stages,
right.
as well as mid-career artists.
How about late-term artists? That people that just, you know, realize, wow, I have this gift, and now, you know, there's something I'm going to do with that.
You know,
does that happen?
Certainly through the awards program.
Uh-huh. Okay.
At mid-career, actually artists at any stage, uh-huh. But often artists at mid and sometimes later career.
Mm-hmm.
This is Julia here. We also have some artists in our residency program who are at later stages in their careers. It's not just emerging artists. So it makes for a very interesting mixed environment where people are learning from each other.
So then it's more inclusive. And you're not just gearing towards, you know, the young kids that are coming out of the art schools or different, you know, schools.
No. I think that's one of the – it is an advantage to young people who are starting out in their mm-hmm. careers because they often don't have a studio space mm-hmm. And they're still looking for a kind of structure that's between being in school and having their own careers. Mm-hmm. But of late, the program has been really gaining a reputation, and we've mm-hmm. been attracting artists from – other parts of the country to come and spend a year in the residency program. And these are often artists who are at more advanced stages of their career, and they're looking for a time out of their regular lives, and they'd like to visit a different part of the country and really focus on the opportunities here.
With the success of the Charlotte Street Foundation, with the different programs that you have offer, are there other cities that are looking at that template to maybe take back to their cities and, you know, kind of put it to use there, like in Austin or Oklahoma or wherever?
Yeah, there are programs. In Omaha, there's a very famous residency program there at the Bemis, which is nationally known. And we're not really at that stage at the moment, partly because we are in the residency spaces thanks to the mm-hmm. generosity of sponsors who help us mm-hmm. find spaces to host artists. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the luxury of having our own building and being able to kind of program in a way that a lot of the more established residencies do, but we offer something else, which mm-hmm. is kind of unique to Kansas City. And I should say, we do have, Julie mentioned, the Curator in Residence program, mm-hmm. and that is, we are a real national leader in that regard, in the sense that we offer an opportunity to young curators to do something that really can't be done anywhere else in the country.
Again, with the criteria for that role, or again the other programs, what are you looking at? What are you looking for, other than an interest in becoming a curator of that space? Do you have to have a little bit of experience, or?
Sure. I mean, we are certainly looking for young curators who do have some track record, some experience, who are going to bring with them interesting ideas that will engage both Kansas City artists, but also the work of artists throughout the country. So, for example, our most recent curator in residence, Danny Orendorf, had four exhibitions. He was with us for 18 months. And each of those exhibitions were engaging a wide range of artists. Two of those exhibitions have traveled. One went to Chicago and another to Asheville, North Carolina, which is actually, that show is still there, which is a great benefit for Kansas City artists. So bringing in that kind of broader perspective of how to engage artists across the country with Kansas City artists is something we're interested in through that program. Certainly quality of their curatorial thinking, their ideas, the strength of their ideas.
I guess I'm just thinking aloud in terms of, you know, if someone's interested in that, you know, what would they bring, you know, what will they need to apply for, you know, those sorts of positions and that?
Yeah, we're looking at mostly individuals who have had, as Julie said, some level of experience curating shows, often who have been through some kind of a graduate program, so they have a connection to the larger issues in the art world, both nationally and internationally. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I think the main thing that we're really interested in is having somebody with a very informed, an objective view of our city, being able to come here and kind of look at the what's going on in studios around Kansas City in a very fresh way, and then helping to connect artists here to other places so that their careers can grow and really blossom in that way.
That's great. That's great. Who are some of the, can you talk about some of the past recipients of Charlotte Streets Foundation's, of their residency programs and that sort of thing? I mentioned that because I know that there's been a lot of artists here in Kansas City that have benefited, and if you want to just kind of name drop.
Goodness me. Well, the range in the visual arts and performing arts has been quite broad. So last year's recipients in the visual arts were Amy Kligman, who is a painter, and Sean Starowitz, who is doing kind of social practice work, which is the first time that we've really featured in that category, somebody who is doing work that's harder to classify, and Gary Noland, who works in a space between painting and sculpture. And so those are recent recipients in that category. And then in the performing arts category last year was Herman Mahari, a really wonderful trumpeter. Her other, I'm so sorry, I'm just slipping to
Jane Gotch.
Oh, and Jane Gotch, of course. The wonderful choreographer who just took some of her dancers to New York City.
And, you know, we had her on the show, and she was going to leave for New York that weekend when they just had, you know, just so much snow. And I think on Facebook that she posted that they were the only show that was open on Broadway.
Yeah, I think so they made it in just before the storm hit.
They sure did.
The show went on.
Well, the reason why I ask you, you know, to sort of bring up some names in that is because I just want our listeners to understand the range of work that is awarded, the range of artists that benefit from the Charlotte Street Foundation.
The in the performing awards, I should say that explain just a little bit that we We do have a tagline on that, that it's about generative work, which means that we're really awarding this to people who are creating their own material rather than performing material that has been created by someone else. And it's not that we don't value that kind of work. It's just that that's the specific parameters for this grant.
Sure.
And so, and that, you know, that is kind of that goes for without saying within the visual arts category. It's just we need to explain that in the performing arts category.
Well, again, the Charlotte Street Foundation is at www.charlottestreet.org, and you can go to their website for more information. So what is the future of Charlotte Street Foundation? I mean, is there more worlds to conquer, more work to do in the community?
Well, Charlotte Street has always been very responsive to the needs of artists, which are constantly changing.
Sure.
And we think of ourselves as nimble, as terribly very flexible, and we want to maintain that those qualities. So we are actually right now in a planning mode and trying to sort through where do we take these programs. Is there new work that is important for us to do? We're already beginning the process of sort of tweaking what we already do and strengthening the current programming. I mean, we will always be looking
ahead
toward the future in the ahead of us to try to create a system, a support system, and opportunities for the artists who live here that will really help them to do their work in the best possible way, advance their work.
We also think about the specificities of Kansas City as a context. And so we've been thinking a lot about the fact that the early days of the Urban Culture Project, which was large part of what Charlotte Street has been for quite some time, was really about investing in the liveliness of downtown Kansas City. You know, when the gallery paragraph and project space were first opened down there, I was talking to somebody about this at a show the other night. I used to be able to go to the shows and just park in 30 seconds, there were no people in the area most of the time. This is not universally true of the downtown area, of course, but in a large way, there's been a sense of Kansas City becoming a livelier and more populated, more densely populated space. So we've just been thinking about the fact that we participated and played a role in that process. And perhaps as things are changing in the city, perhaps we should be thinking about how our focus might be shifting too, because we are a responsive organization. And we don't really have any firm designs around this yet, but one of the areas we've been thinking about a lot is arts in the neighborhoods and how not as a community arts organization, but really kind of thinking about how artists engage with the neighborhoods and communities. And so that's somewhere we'll be looking in the future.
Now, would that sort of in that line of thinking, would it, it seems to me that it lends itself to some partnerships with, you know, different organizations in communities. Is that something that you'll maybe investigate a little bit further?
Well, we have always had worked with the idea that partnerships were important in order to do this work, that we can't do it alone, and it's better if we do it with others. And we are exploring and looking for potential partners. Nothing solid right now, so I'd hate to mention names.
Oh, go ahead. I won't tell anyone.
Particularly with any work that we would do in a neighborhood, you would definitely have to have partners.
Right. Everything we've done up to this point, I mean, we have wonderful examples of partnerships with businesses like Missouri Bank, the art boards, the billboards that are on top of the bank down there, which have been a fantastic opportunity for artists to show their work in a very public space and get paid for doing it. And then if you look at something like Artist Inc., we have in the past partnered with Arts KC and with UMKC,
the Metropolitan
Small
Arts
Business.
Council.
Yeah, it's been a very kind of a very fruitful way of bridging between organizations in Kansas City and finding, and not reinventing the wheel, and finding out where we overlap and where we can help each other.
Well, there's strength in collaboration.
Yes.
So I believe that. I'm a graduate of the Artists Inc., and I know how well that program has helped me and others, you know, with their careers and sort of setting goals. So that's been very good, a very good program for the artists here in Kansas City. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with Charlotte Street Foundation.
Support for KKFI provided by University of Missouri-Kansas City, honoring Chicano activist and educator Agapito Mendoza, March 18th, with the 7th Annual Agapito Mendoza Scholarship Breakfast, to raise funds to support Latino students to follow in his footsteps. Supporters include 90.1 FM, Univision, Las Islas Marias Mexican Restaurant, Hallmark, and UMKC's Multicultural Student Organizations Council. More information at umkcalumni.com/Mendoza.
The Canadian tar sands is the largest industrial project on Earth, and the potential environmental consequences have brought together citizens from across borders to fight its rippling effects. On the next Making Contact, the first of a two-part special on the growing resistance to the tar sands. Fighting Goliath on Making Contact, Thursday afternoon at 12:30.
The American Friends Service Committee invites you to join them for the release of the Move the Money Listening Project. Gain insights into the needs and how life could improve with priorities that invest in our future. The event happens Thursday at the Beery Auditorium at the Kansas City Health Department, 2400 Troost, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. This message is a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm here with the Charlotte Street Foundation members. I have Julie Gordon Dalglish, and I have Julia Cole in the studio. Julie, Dalglish is the director of the Short Street Foundation, and Julia Cole is the Rocket Grants coordinator and co-founder of Rad School, which is an alternative school based here in Kansas City. So we're going to switch gears for a little bit and talk about the Rocket Grants that are available to artists here in Kansas City. So welcome back. Hello, Julia.
Hi.
Great. Let's talk about the Rocket Grants, sort of a description of the Rocket Grants from the Short Street Foundation.
Yeah, great. A little earlier in the program, we were talking about the origin of Charlotte Street, and I know many of the artists who've been around Kansas City for a long time know that the organization was named after Charlotte Street, where John Puszczek lived, who had a house where artists would gather and share ideas and share food together and kind of build the collaborative relationships that really make an arts organization or an arts community mm-hmm. tick. And I think the Rocket Grants is really kind of an extension of that in mm-hmm. a very interesting way. So it's a fund that comes from the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, and they started this visionary program called a re-granting program, where they work with really strong arts organizations around the country in places other than New York and LA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In order to channel the money directly into artists' hands to do innovative work that is outside of the institutional mm-hmm. art spaces, mm-hmm. so outside of galleries and museums and theaters.
So what are some of the examples of that? I know you said outside of the theaters and all that, but do you have examples of some of the artists that have received art the Rocket Grant that took something completely, a different kind of direction of where you would expect art to be or not?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think one of the really interesting things to look at in Rocket Grants is to look at the venues, mm-hmm. The places where the programs or publications or whatever it is that the artists are doing actually happen. Mm-hmm. And there we've had... We had a wonderful project by Nedra Bonds and Dr. Nancy Dawson, who worked with kids in schools in KCK to produce quilts that had images of contemporary heroes mm-hmm. on the quilts. And at the same time, so they were sort of looking to the past and the present, and the present and the future. But Nancy Dawson has written a play that was looking at the past. Mm-hmm. And so she was writing about her grandmother, who was an escaped slave, who escaped across the Missouri River to Quindaro and who lived there. And the play was performed in the graveyard where her grandmother was buried. And so there was this really amazing combination of the past, the present, and the future, looking at cultural engagement and mm-hmm. cultural histories and the way retelling stories mm-hmm. in a really beautiful way. So that's just one example. I mean, things happen on the street, they happen in office spaces, they happen in laundromats.
Yeah, I just like, for our listeners to kind of get a snapshot of, you know, maybe start them thinking about, you know, maybe what they would consider some sort of alternate venue, you know.
Yeah, one of the main reasons for doing this is to develop new kinds of audiences for mm-hmm. the arts. Mm-hmm. So it's a sense of being able to connect with the broader community and have a conversation about why the arts are important mm-hmm. To Kansas City mm-hmm. and how they help our community become more dynamic and mm-hmm. sophisticated in lots of different ways. And all of the things that the arts bring that many people don't think about. Well, I think we're very familiar with comfort and inspiration, but thinking about the ways that artists kind of challenge us to think mm-hmm. in new ways, sometimes question old ideas and advance new models of things. I think that's what a lot of these artists are doing, and then inviting a broad community into that conversation.
And certainly the technology that we have really lends itself to that too, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it certainly does.
What is who is eligible for the Rocket Grants then? I mean, again, is it going to be an emerging artist, or is it...
We have people from every stage of their careers. So you actually have to have been out of school for at least a year. You have to have graduated for at least a year in order to be able to apply, and you need to be over 21. So we don't have the very beginning artists in this program. But we have people throughout really every stage of their career, and I think that's particularly true for Kansas City. This program actually has eight other locations across the country.
Really?
And it's very different in different cities. Some cities have more young artists, and I think we're unique in having such a spread.
So it is unique to each city then, what the criteria is.
Yeah. So and really beyond that, because the requirement is really that things be done in a public space, there are different people. Artists bring in different skill sets. So we have artists who work with music and with visual arts and with writing and with all different kind of performance. So there are many, many different ways in which these get brought into these engagements that happen in public spaces. So it's not exclusive to one kind of art or another.
Let's talk about sort of the well, I mean, this is all very exciting, you know, but you have four new critical arts writing programs that have just been developed. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So one of the things about what happens in Rocket Grants is that because they're often happening in these odd places where people don't know to go and find art, and because they are dealing with issues that may not be what typically people think of as being art processes, there's often a difficulty for audiences to actually physically connect, and they want to know more information about the work and why it's being done. And so we've tried from the start, we've positioned ourselves, we created a Rocket blog, which is rocketgrants.org, where people can go and find out about the program. And it's a very popular site for people to see what's been done. But we wanted to be able to go further than that. We wanted to be able to make this information more accessible to audiences, and we wanted to further engage people in the Kansas City community in thinking about and discussing what the value of the arts are to our culture. So we felt that writing or having people who are engaging in the ideas and who are interested in sharing them in a really accessible way was a great way for us to move forward. And so we came up with these new initiatives.
Go ahead.
So the first thing that we decided to do was to engage an intern to start writing features that we would put onto the Rocket blog. So instead of, we really love to have artists post about their own work, but they often only want to share things when they're done. And as we were talking about earlier on, it's so interesting for audiences to see things in process. And so we thought if we had somebody actually engaging with the artist and helping and telling a story about their process, it would actually make that more accessible to our audiences.
So this writer would not necessarily just be writing about one artist, but maybe a community or several artists. Would they also have to be Charlotte Street Foundation recipients?
Well, right now on the Rocket blog, the focus is on the Rocket grants programs, or the artists that have been funded through the program. So this is one of the areas that is really kind of an in-house way to get this work out into the community. Some of the other initiatives that we are investing in right now do have, in this first phase of funding, do have a focus on the kind of socially engaged work that we're talking about in the Rocket Grants program. Mm-hmm. But in the future, the platforms will be open to really any kind of art across the region.
Now, with the interns been selected for the Rocket blog, right?
Right.
Okay. How long will they serve as their internship? How long will that?
Well, this is a paid internship, which is important to us to do that when we can. And so really we have some funds allocated. And when the funds run out, we'll have to evaluate how successful the program has been in really connecting people with these stories, and then consider how we might look at continuing that in the future.
And then you have a Thrust podcast project. Let's talk about that.
This is very exciting. So we've been thinking about this for some time, and we actually sent out a national call to artists to propose something. And we ended up choosing a project that was proposed by Meredith Moore, who runs Wonder Fair in Lawrence. And her proposal was to start a podcasting platform. And we're very interested in the ways in which podcasting takes radio into the next generation. I mean, obviously, you guys understand how powerful radio is, and the idea that that you can listen to programs and topics that you're interested in on demand while you're driving, while you're doing the dishes, while you're in your studio working, is an immensely attractive idea and something we've needed here for a long time.
Now, is it something also that an artist may be able to attach to their website so that it sort of enhances their website or their work, or people can sort of, tune in and listen to that and really understand how this person operates?
Yeah. We will link to it, especially this, we'll link to it forever, I'm sure, but the first round of programming on this platform is going to be connected to the Rocket Grants programming in a looser way, in that it's going to be talking more about the issues and the venues and the ways in which artists address this kind of work. And we'll link to that on the Rocket blog. But it's also going to have its own website. And so this is going to be a platform that will be independent and will carry forward into the future.
That sounds pretty exciting. You know, it's sometimes I think it's difficult to get artists to talk about their work, but I think this is one way to really reach a much larger audience, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you also have a podcast workshop.
Yes. Well,
so let's talk about that.
Once we started talking with Meredith about the platform, we realized that what we really needed to do in order to make this useful for our community in the best possible way was to provide a training for people who are interested in discovering what they can do with technology in this way, and really give them not only some journalistic training to understand how to tell a big story in a short space, how to make it interesting, how to bring in sound pieces, but also to give them some technical skills in learning how to record their own podcasts so that we can create a community of people who are engaged with the arts community and uploading and preparing and uploading these stories to a platform like the Thrust.
So when will this occur? When will this take place?
So the podcast workshops will be happening the last three weekends in May. It'll be happening on Sundays and in the afternoon, and through the generous use offer of the space from Writer's Place. So they'll be happening there. they'll kind of walk through those different development of those different skill sets in each. The people who are participating, we're going to accommodate 20 different artists, writers, and they will, over the course of those 3 weekends, they will actually produce a short piece that would be a possible inclusion in the Thrust podcasting programming.
So now the 20 people that are going to participate, they've been selected.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh,
okay. No, we in our conversations, we have drawn up a list of people we think would be interesting, who are already doing things in community or who have expressed an interest in this kind of work. But we're a little open at this time to who exactly those individuals are going to be.
And you have a pretty stellar cast of people who are going to facilitate this workshop.
Yes. CJ Janavi from KCUR is going to be helping with the journalistic aspect. She has a background in many different in journalism as well as in radio broadcasting, and she's going to be kind of working with that those formatting issues. And then we're going to have several different individuals with technical training coming in to give people hands-on skill sets in that area.
Yeah, people with degrees in journalism and curatorship and all that. Aaron
Zizek.
Yeah. Pam Fine, Teresa Bemnister. And now, will Danny participate in that? Danny Orendorf?
Or is he? Actually, the panel that you're looking at there are the individuals who were responsible for selecting the winning proposal.
Okay.
We had some great proposals, and so we called together a real a set of people to help us make that decision.
So based on the success of this, it will be an ongoing workshop in the future, do you think? Is that sort of the goal?
I would imagine that as the podcasting platform finds its feet, as we help it get established in this first year, I think it's going to find a very strong audience, and I am sure that Meredith will want to continue doing this in the future, because she's going to want to continue to draw people from the community into participating on the platform, because that's where it's going to get a lot of its strength from, the diversity of voices.
And then last, you have an editorial workshop.
Yes, we do. And that's going to be happening in April. And this kind of grew out of the call for proposals that we had issued. Also, we realized that we actually have a lot of young writing organizations and emerging writers in Kansas City. And what we really noticed was that there was a kind of a vacuum in the area of editorial skills in having enough people to really mentor these young writers and help them move to the next stage of their careers, and hopefully help them move to national publications, because then we start to participate in a larger conversation across the country. And so we found somebody who's really wonderful called Kristen Capps, and he works with the Atlantic Group. He's involved in all kinds of amazing national publications, and he is going to be working with 8 writers from the Kansas City region who are already doing serious, engaged, adventurous work, and helping them, first of all, kind of move their writing to the next level and connecting them to possible publications and platforms and to a national dialogue.
So you say the writers that are participating in this, they've already been chosen, and they're sort of working in that field already.
Yes, we're actually in the process of inviting them right as we speak, and we have 7 of them already confirmed, and we're waiting on a reply from the 8th.
So. Now, is that also going to be held at the writer's place, or is it going to be at a different venue for those folks?
Sure where it's going to be yet. We're going to be finalizing that in the next couple of days.
And for our listeners who want more information or to find out the latest programming here for the Rocket Grants, the website?
It's rocketgrants.org.
Okay. And that will also, you can link to the Charlotte Street Foundation either website, right?
It links to Charlotte Street, and it also links, I should mention that we are partners in this. We talked about partnership earlier on, and we are partners in this with the Spencer Museum of Art at KU.
Right.
And it also links to their site, and it links to the Warhol regranting program. So it then, and I should also say that we are in round six of taking applications for rocket grants right
now. You know,
now.
I'm glad you mentioned that because the deadline is the
March 23rd.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
So what will a person need to apply for a rocket grant? Is there a form that they have to download?
Yeah.
On the website.
And yeah, the applications are all through the online interface called callforentries.org or CAFE. Mm-hmm. And there's a section on the Rocket blog in the About section, which is application information. And it has everything there that people need in order to be able to find out how to fill out an application, links to the forms, how to fill out a budget. Mm-hmm. And I also offer every year to have phone conversations with people who have questions about their application. We do outreach sessions, but we're actually just kind of at the end of that right now because people need time to really get dug in and prepare an application, and it's a couple of weeks away now.
Right. Now, in terms of the outreach conversations that you had with public, what happens in that? Is it sort of a one-on-one conversation or a group of people that come together and just listen to a presentation?
We go into different communities, and we partner with different organizations who already have artists who are interested in this, and sometimes individuals come forward and say, I've got 10 friends who'd like to find out about this. Will you do a presentation? Mostly what happens is I talk about projects that have already been funded, about the kinds of things that we fund and don't fund, eligibility and so on. And then I always try to have an artist who has already received a grant come and talk about their project so people can see specifically how that artist used the money, what kinds of problems they faced, how they solved them. And they often ask questions about how they made their applications.
And I would think it would be helpful too if someone is interested and they have an idea to maybe just, you know, have a conversation, you know, what do you think about this? Of course, I don't know if that's something that you would actually do, just kind of, maybe just get a snapshot of what their idea is and maybe say, well, you know, you might try this or that. Is that something that would happen?
Yeah, I do have those kinds of conversations with people. We're very much... We think about Rocket Grants as kind of a coaching program in a way to help people be able to make good applications generally, because we hope that if they apply for a Rocket Grant, even if they don't get one of our grants, they'll have their materials prepared and be able to turn around and go somewhere else and really push their project. And since I am not on the jury, nobody from Charlotte Street or Spencer Museum is actually on the jury. We invite people in for that. I'm able to advise people, and you know, I can't write an application for them or tell them what's going
absolutely.
To win an award, but I can certainly say, you know, those are the kinds of things that have been red flags for juries in the past, or this is the kind of thing that they have been very interested in. You'd be wise to follow that direction. So I can offer help in that way.
Oh, absolutely. I could see that would benefit someone who has an idea and sort of wants to, you know, just kind of really maybe think it through, you know, with a conversation. Is there something that I'm missing? Is there upcoming events or... I know we just had our first Friday.
There's a wonderful project that's going on right now that is unfolding as we speak. That's called the Parent Teacher Conference, and it's a group of artists who are working with the issues around school accreditation in Kansas City using spoken word, hip hop, and music video, and they have been holding educational outreach workshops and engaging meeting with legislators and the public, and they're producing a film as a result of this, a video. And if people are interested, they should really go to the Rocket Grants website and check out and see what upcoming projects are happening. We also have one of our projects called 5050, which is an alternative kind of gallery space that's built in a couple of shipping containers that's happening down in the West Bottoms. And they are doing their initial programming, and they're going to be opening their doors very soon. So those are a couple of the really current projects.
Opening doors soon, and maybe the end of the month, or I think are we looking
later this spring? They already have part of what they're doing is a billboard project where they give artists a prompt, and then artists have to respond to that. And they have their first piece up that is showing down in the West Bottoms right now, right next to the car park where they have their shipping containers that are being converted into gallery spaces. And it's a very interesting program there, redefining what it means to have an artist-driven space, because a lot of what they're doing is going to be online. They're going to have digital archives and conversations happening online. So it's a very expansive way of thinking through what art spaces can be.
You know, it's very intriguing. It sounds great. Is there anything else that, in final words, last words that you want to give to our listeners that I haven't touched on?
Only to check out what's happening at La Esquina on the 20th with the sleeping bag project. And
so if I show up with my ukulele and my sleeping bag, I'm good, huh?
And then also just a reminder on the Open Studios, because that is really a great night. And that's in April on the 24th in the studios downtown. Go to charlottestreet.org or to our Facebook page.
Terrific.
And I would encourage people to follow the programming that's happening at La Esquina, because this is all based on applications from local artists and curators and musicians. And it's incredibly lively, engaging, adventurous work, but is drawing really a lot of different kinds of people to come in and see the work that's being made in
our
area.
That's beautiful. You know, as an artist in the city, and I've always made art, it's really exciting to see the renaissance, the sort of interest in the community involvement in the arts. So, you know, it's always good for everyone.
It's the strength of our city, Maria.
It really is.
You know, one of the things that I talk about wherever I go is what an incredibly strong, connected, generous arts community we have. And it's really a thrill to work in an organization like Charlotte Street that's so invested in really supporting artists at the very root level of what they do.
Wants to, you know, you just never want to leave Kansas City
That's right.
Well, I do want to thank Julie Gordon Dogleash and Julia Cole from the Charlotte Street Foundation and the Rocket Grants. If you tune in, yes, I know you will, tune in next week. My guest will be Hector Casanova and Renee Sinderhaus, two very exciting, dynamic, creative artists, husband and wife team here in Kansas City. And that's next week, March 18th. Hector Casanova and Renee Sinderhaus will join us in the studio. I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshbarger. At 3 p.m., Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, we have Interfaith Voices. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And at 9 o'clock, we have the Classical Challenge with Dr. Mike and or Mark Andrus. I want to invite our listeners to check out our Facebook page, ArtSpeak, ArtSpeak Radio. And I also want to have you take a listen to our podcast on our website, www.kkfi.org. Thank you so much for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.